and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned into KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm Jill Spears, your host here with my favorite gardeners. Guess who that is?
Slants and Lulu.
And Jer.
Yes, and Jer joining us tonight from the Garden Pimp Zone.
Pimping it.
Thanks for being here, Jer.
For sure.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
It's always good to have you.
Thanks.
On the air with us.
Winding up the season, and this is going to be our last show for 2024, season 11.
It's cold out there.
It is cold out there.
Yeah, right? It got nipplies, yeah.
I got down almost 10 degrees at my house last night.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was cold. It was chilled to the bone this morning. It was.
Yeah. Yeah, I was in heaven, though. I was under this, I got this down comforter on my bed that weighs about 20 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's in a flannel duvet cover, and,
that is heaven.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody.
No heat in my bedroom at all. I hate the heat, yeah. So I keep it off.
And was it cold at your house? And I said, it was a long underwear morning.
There you go.
Indeed. Even with an electric heater in my greenhouse, I lost my habanero peppers and my strawberries.
Oh. Got
all hurt.
Oh, no. You didn't expect it to get that cold.
I didn't.
Huh?
It was really cold.
Oh, dang.
Well, there it is.
There it is.
If you want to call and lament with us about the cold.
This is your last chance for 2024.
This is your last chance for 2024.
It's actually nice. I don't have to work anymore.
Yeah, took care of that.
I know.
Oh, bummer.
But should we tell them the numbers?
Do it, Lulu.
Okay, 527-4. Oh, wait. You got to do the 970, but y'all are used to that now. 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now or KVNF.org. What's our email again?
Worm
at KVNF.org. I always forget the worm.
Yeah. Yeah. Please give us a call. We love callers.
Yeah.
And we also love emailers, and we just love listeners.
Probably hit us up on the app too, right?
I don't know how that works.
They could hit us up on the app. So
they can listen to us on the app.
There's a spot on the app. Email the DJ, and I bet Adam could get it.
Oh.
He will let us know. Mm-hmm. Oh. Well, I do have an email from someone.
Oh, good. Great.
This is Lisa, who Lisa supported KVNF during our show on last pledge drive. And so she received some of Lance's magic beans.
Yay!
Yeah, they're sitting right here, and they are super beautiful and
beautiful.
Colorful. Mm-hmm. And can you just remind us of the variety in there, Lance?
Put me on the spot, will you? There's pintos, Montezuma reds, chili bean, cranberry bean. There's a black bean, a Brazilian black bean that I've been growing since 1979, I think.
Oh, wow. How cool is that?
Let's see. The Anasazi beans.
My favorite.
Yeah, Zuni Golds. And I might be missing something else, but I think that there should be six varieties there.
Nice. We're going to get back to the beans because we have a lamenter on the line. So we're going to bust in and allow them to lament with us. Hi, caller.
Hi, this is Idel from Denver.
Great, Idel. We've got
hello
your
again.
Great
hello.
To hear from you. I've got your email from last week where we talked about putting bird seed on the ground for grasshoppers and that kind of thing. Great to hear from you. What's going on?
That's actually a really good idea, by the way.
Yeah,
I thought that was a great idea too.
Yeah.
I was just calling in today because you were just talking about how the peppers in your somewhat heated greenhouse perished, and yeah, mine did too. This morning I opened it up and they were all just,
limp.
Yeah, limp, done. They were great though. I've had them in a little mini, like, garden bed hoop house.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 3 feet tall and there's no heat or anything in it. And they've actually were doing great up till last night.
Yeah.
So it must have got just cold enough.
Right.
So there you were down in Denver. What was your overnight low? Do you know?
You know, I was going to look. I'm not sure, but I know we've been below freezing many times the last few weeks, but it must have got a little bit cooler last night, or maybe the fact that it wasn't as warm yesterday and it didn't get as much solar heat. I don't know, but
it was
definitely below freezing and it froze them this time, which I was surprised at how long they last. I just picked a whole bunch of habaneros a couple of days ago and made hot sauce, and I couldn't believe I was still doing it.
I couldn't believe I was, you know, almost to Thanksgiving still picking peppers too. It was nuts.
Yeah. You like your peppers, I doubt. Can you remind us the different varieties that you grow?
Yeah, I grow like habaneros, a few different varieties of jalapenos, of course, hatch chilies, pueblo chilies. I grew the Carolina Reaper, which is one of the hottest ones.
Whoa.
And
how'd those turn out?
I think of some of the others. Ahi. Yeah, I try to grow different ones every year because I work with Cynthia Seed, and she sends me her seeds, and I try to rotate them out and grow something different each year so I can take pictures and, you know, use it for her website and so forth.
That's awesome. Very cool.
How'd your Carolina Reapers turn out?
They did really good. I mean, you know, of course, they had a lot of little ones that were just starting to form.
Mm-hmm.
But I did get, I probably got maybe, I don't know, 7-8 peppers off the plant, which was better than most years for me where it gets cold before they even start to ripen.
Yeah.
So
this time I got some ripe ones, which was nice. But I would say they really need a little bit longer growing season, I think, to
really
get them.
Over here in Paoni anyways, you know, we have really hot days, but we have cold nights even throughout the summer. And my really hot peppers, like the habaneros and whatnot, they don't like the cold nights. So I have to grow those in the greenhouse year-round.
Mm.
Yeah, I might try that with my hoop house, although in the summer it gets a little more shade. But I could move them in at night and cover them because, yeah, it would probably keep them warmer.
I found it made a huge difference. I've done it the last 2 years. I just struggled growing those hot peppers before, and now I'm growing them in the greenhouse and just getting, I mean, I got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. So
that's awesome. What do you do with them all? Do you make hot sauce?
Yeah, I'm getting into making hot sauces and ferments and, yeah, we're going to do some powders. We freeze dry, you know, do that too. So,
yeah, you're kind of really getting into the peppers, aren't you?
Yeah, but we started making some hot sauces, and it was from a sriracha recipe, and we used that lemon spice jalapeno, and then some of the habaneros, onions and garlic, and it is amazing. And it is so beautiful because it's like bright yellow from the lemon spice jalapeno, and it's got little red chips in it from the habaneros. Nice. Like, it's got a lot of shelf appeal, I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, golden sauce. Mm-hmm. That sounds delicious.
It's really neat.
I've grown
so
the
tasty.
Lemon spice too.
You have, right? I thought you'd said that last time.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. And we do jalapeno poppers out of those, and it's just a different taste altogether. Mm-hmm. It's really cool.
I'm going to let you guys have those.
Yeah.
You know what? Right, and I'm with Lance. You pepper people, I'm impressed.
But not
this little white girl.
No.
Some of them aren't so bad, and even habaneros, they're flavor. Not, I mean, they have the spice, but it goes away, but it's all about flavor.
Right, and give me a good Jimmy Nadalo anyway, any day. But the hot ones, not so much. And even some of the not so hot, it my little body doesn't like it at all. It just doesn't like it. So you know,
peppers, they don't like me.
It's just not it, you know. Okay. But you guys into the peppers, I just love it because they're cool. Yeah, just think you could really those real super hot ones.
Oh, I love the peppers. And the spice is the spice of life.
Spice of life.
Yep.
Hey, Idell, in your email you mentioned that you were going to a seed swap in Denver, the Denver Native Seed Plant Swap. How was that event? Were you able to make that?
It was. I did, and it was amazing. They had like 250 native plant seeds, like varieties, and tons of people came, and lots of, just great gardeners being generous and sharing the seeds they collected from their gardens, because once you start planting some of these native plants, you certainly get lots of seeds later in the season.
Right.
Sure.
So it was really a lot of fun, and just a lot of good people.
Yeah, there's always such a great energy and excitement. Yeah, yeah. It's like really just the buzz that happens, well, yeah, you know?
Because seeds are magical anyway. Mm-hmm. But do they come from like a tall grass prairie type setting or short grass prairie or...
All of the above. They kind of just do regional natives. So they just, you know, there's penstemons, there's grasses, there's, you know, shrubs, trees. They just have a wide variety. So some of them grow better in the Denver, you know, area where we're out on the plains more so than others. But they're all kind of from the Colorado region and, of course, bordering states because, well, native plants don't know borders. No. So. So they kind of just focus on that, and everybody who brings seeds to swap, they want to, you know that they're what variety they are, get the you know, the Latin name and make sure that they have, you know, where they're collected and what elevation they were growing in so that you could have an idea if it's something that would grow well in your yard. It's nice. Really great. It's put out on by the Wild Ones. There's a Front Range Wild Ones chapter. And they do a few seed swaps and plant swaps in the spring. And it's just a whole bunch of generous gardeners just, you know, either collecting seed. Some of them are collected from the wild with permission and, of course, with limits so that they leave most of the seed. And then a lot of the seed is also collected from everybody's gardens when they're growing them. So it's kind of a, I don't know, a combined effort of gardening and as well as going out and doing seed collection in the areas around our city. So
have you ever been over here?
They do one up in Fort Collins and
No, have you ever been over here, Idel? In Paonia?
Yeah. We have a friend actually who lives in Paonia. And I worked with a flower farm a long time ago, doing a website. But our friend who's there now, he is his name's Sean Guerrero, and he does chrome sculptures.
Yes.
So you might know of him.
Yeah, he's just catty corner from the studio here.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So he's the one who actually told me about your show. So, but I've always loved the area. I have family in Fruta, and I've been dreaming of moving up there since I was a little kid because I grew up here in the Front Range, and I always loved the Western Slope, so... Anyway, so, he told me about your show because he knew I loved gardening and he knew I loved the Western Slope. And so
Lance helps organize a seed swap over here in the spring, and you should come over for it sometime.
That's in
March.
Awesome.
March, yeah.
Yeah, nice. We would love for you to visit and sit in on the show with us.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Super fun.
Yeah, that would be really cool. And you can stay at my house. I have a lot of room.
Perfect.
Well, thanks. I'd love to get up there more. I love that whole area. So Paonia, Hotchkiss,
it's special.
And I also spent a lot of time up in Montrose, too, when I was younger in college and stuff. I had a friend who lived there. So I love the whole area. The Western Slope is a special place.
West Slope's the best slope.
Yes, it is.
For sure.
Yes, it is.
Well,
the banana belt.
Yeah. We really appreciate you listening and connecting with us.
We do.
Enjoy hearing from you and your emails and what's going on in your garden. So, muchas gracias.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. Like I said, we have a pretty similar growing schedule. So when I heard you talking about the peppers dying this week, I thought, oh my gosh, we were in the same boat. So I had to call in and say hello.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks so much, Idel.
Thank you.
Enjoy the winter season, and we will hear from you next year.
Take care. Happy winter.
Yeah, you too.
Good for you.
Right. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Peace and happy trails.
Yeah. That's great. I love that. So many. I love when connections just like all come together.
Yeah.
527-486-8866 Cave Enough now. Look at that, Lulu. You put it out there for a lamenter. And
right?
Here we are.
Yeah.
We're going to circle back to these beautiful beans. because Lisa received some beans for her pledge during the pledge drive, and she's really excited to plant those and watch some magic bean stalks emerge. But question, she was thinking of planting the Three Sisters. Can you please recommend varieties of all three that would be compatible regarding timing, water requirements, etc., or would it be better to plant the beans separately? First of all, what's the three sisters?
The three sisters are the
it's corn.
Corn, beans, and squash.
Okay.
Yeah. And is that native to the Southwest, or was it mainly...
It's more of a South American thing, so it's funny you ask. I just watched a program. There's a program on Apple TV Plus called Omnivore, and it follows... It picks, like, one of them was about chilies, one of them was about tuna, one of them was about salt, one was about corn. And during the corn one, they were down in South America, and they were talking about this approach with the three sisters and how they do it. It was a really neat program.
Yeah. All let's say the three sisters, like, you know, we plant corn in, what, 12, 16 inches apart? Those hills are going to be 3 to 4 feet apart. And you're going to make hills with a cluster of three or four plants. And then you plant the squash in between that here every 6 feet or whatever. And then the beans can go in there too. I personally would rather plant the beans separate because the squash will take over everything.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you could plant, you know what kind of beans in that group of beans she just got? The Anasazis are a runner. And so are the Pintos.
Anasazis are a runner?
Yeah. Okay. They're a semi-runner.
Gotcha.
You know, so they'll run with the whole group.
Okay.
So, and they and you don't need to trellis them. They'll just run on the ground.
Right.
They'll do 2 to 3 feet.
Right. Really?
Yeah.
Well, the whole thing, the reason it became popular to do it for the Native American people was the, as I understood it, was the beans could grow up the corn stalks.
Correct.
And then the squash made such a tangle on the ground that the raccoons and the critters didn't like to get into
it. Yeah, correct.
Because it tangles their feet up.
It also brings in kind of an ecosystem of beneficial insects.
Yeah, right.
And everything,
everything
kind of works together.
Yeah, it transmogrifies itself. It's fabulous. Yeah,
and the sunflowers, if you get into the next one, would be the perimeter of the whole place.
That's what I used to do,
Yeah.
All right.
So clever.
That's, I think you answered a question, everybody.
Any of those big open face flowers bring in good bugs.
Good bugs, yeah.
So.
Except for squash bugs.
Well, they're not getting on the big open face flowers. I'm talking like the sunflowers.
Oh, those guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, never mind the bugs.
Marigolds.
Yeah, and the birds just go whack job over them. They're in there going crazy.
Right. The sunflowers definitely bring in the birds.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then once you've got them on your side, you're pretty good. You got it going on. I love the idea of this. Bird seed on the ground for the grasshoppers, man.
Yeah, you know, and that's something Idell mentioned was trying to source some native bird seed so that you're putting good seed out there.
Yeah, that, see, that would be good because bird seed in general has got a little of everything in it.
Yeah.
It just grows like some millet.
Millet, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Very aggressive.
Yeah.
So.
All right, Lisa has another question. She's got a problem with the wind wreaking havoc on her rhubarb plant. It still has some pretty big leaves on it.
Oh, man.
Is it too late to relocate it to a more protected place if it warms up this week, or should she wait till spring?
I'd wait.
Just wait.
I'd probably wait at this point, too.
You'll see those buds in the springtime just starting to swell. Dig it up right then.
Right then.
Okay.
If you wanted to
dig it, move it.
Yeah.
In fact, dig the hole first and then dig the plant up.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So you have less transplant shock.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as soon as you see those little knobbies coming up, that's when you want to go for it. And if you want to be really kind to your rhubarb right now, see if you can get some manure.
You are spreading, what did you spread on your
rhubarb? Oh, yeah, I spread compost.
Compost, yeah. Okay.
Rhubarb really likes a lot of nitrogen
to get it to
grow those big leaves in the stalks. That's what it is. So if you can put manure on it now or first thing in the spring, it will love it.
Yeah, and you put it on a little hot right now because it's going dormant, so it's not a big deal.
It's not a deal. Mm-hmm.
And by the time spring comes, it will have mellowed out and everything will work right.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. And Lance, you are also spreading sulfur. That's one of your fall
routines. I did most of the garden, but I had the area where all the carrots and onions and those beds that weren't cleaned up quite yet, and I finally got that done, and so they all got it.
And are you doing that to get rid of fungal pathogens mostly?
Or? No, that's how I what do I want to say? I'm watering with well water that's slightly alkaline.
So okay.
And so I'm using the sulfur, so the soil life breaks it down into sulfuric acid.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps neutralize that salt buildup. Okay. And that's what I'm doing. Right. And I do it once a year in the fall. You know.
And you also put some compost on your fruit trees and asparagus.
I had three young plum trees. They got compost, and the asparagus, I finally got that done, and the raspberry bed.
Nice. All right. Great.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I was going to ask Jer what some of the soil amendments you might recommend for fall.
Yeah, so in the fall, we like to do the compost, and like peat is a good one. You can start letting that get worked in. Compost and peat. You can do a little bit of fertilization. Kind of depends on where you are, what your snow load's like, how much runoff you're going to have from that snow, because sometimes it'll just wash away
it's
your
just
work.
Gone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's questionable. If you can till it in right now, maybe a little better. Maybe throw a little winter rye on top, you know, to stabilize it, and then you can till that back in the spring, and that'll give you some organic matter.
Right. So I emptied the tub. Of
the oh, you did?
I got the fabulous fecal fertilizer all out.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I made a plan for it, and it followed through, and it worked great.
Nice.
I got to get it up higher next year so I have more drops so I get a more pressure, you know. But I took the spent bags of the various fabulous fertilizer that I had in the tank and let those dry out and put them on my grapes.
Mm-hmm.
I mixed it all up together in the wheelbarrow, and I went out and shoveled it on the grapevines. Because I did that a couple of years ago, and they seemed to just... Yeah. Well, this year was seriously over the top. And so I did it again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't learn.
Making more work for yourself.
Making way more work.
I just recently took like the brush hog on the back of the tractor and just chopped everything in the field and let it fall, let it kind of...
Chopping and dropping.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Let it kind of make a mulch, and it's going to, go through its winter process, compost over the winter.
Yeah.
Kind of give all that yum yum. Mm.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Just kind of tuck that all back to where it belongs. Mm-hmm. The garden guy, Wind, does that a lot. Just whenever he cuts plant, just kind of puts it right back into the...
Yeah. That compost I put down was not tilled in. It's sitting
right
on the ground.
Right. Yeah, the compost you'll just leave on top, typically.
Leave on top, and the worms and stuff, it'll...
Bring it down.
Bring it down. And that asparagus bed in the spring, I will... because there's grass and stuff, I'll dig that grass out.
Right.
But otherwise, it's just there doing its thing.
Yeah, and the freeze and thaw, that'll kind of break it up and bring it in too.
Yeah.
So, you could put down like some dried molasses. That'll help the microbes
have
some food whenever they
are going
to sleep and when they go to wake up.
What about doing kelp?
Kelp would be great.
Right in there, too.
Mm-hmm. Put some kelp in. Stuff like that. I just wouldn't put a lot of, your comprehensive 555 type fertilizer.
No. That's going to be gone.
Yeah, that'll be gone. You want to do that in the spring.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. My my compost in the chicken yard, one of my chickens got, it was sad. But it wasn't. It was a really good story, but I'm not going to tell it now. But my compost pile, that's all the worms. I put all the dead, the not usable apples in there. And it was a big pile. Man, it has gone down so much. And then I put all the comfrey on top of that. And pretty soon I'm going to put the cover back over it so the chickens can't get at it. But the worms will all dive to the bottom anyway. Mm-hmm. But that's going to be some serious
worm casting. It also depends on the crop, though, too, Lance, on the fertilizer. So potatoes don't like, for instance, a really...
You can't use hot manure.
Right, you can't have... They don't like a lot of... hot nutrients right off the bat.
Yeah.
And so then if you're going to maybe, you might put some of that, those comprehensive fertilizers in your garden where you're going to put your potatoes now. And there's a few other things like that.
Yeah. So that's planning ahead. Mm-hmm. I know where my potatoes are going. Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's already taken care of.
Yeah. And then, you know, that you could put some fertilizer in and it'll mellow over the winter and kind of, you know, homogenize in the soil.
Now, I've heard a lot of people had trouble with their potatoes this year. What was up with that?
Let's talk about that, Lance, because you wanted to talk about ordering seed potatoes, and we were just chatting before the show how that generation of potatoes works.
The first generation of potatoes is for the seed potato growers. Mm-hmm. The second seed generation is, again, for the seed. They've gotten a little bit bigger, and they're spreading it out. And what we're getting... is a seed potato is third generation, third or fourth.
Okay.
Just so they're 3 or 4 years from the original. And you can actually save those for 3 years, 3 to maybe 4 years, and then they start to get aphids. The term in the potato world is growing thin. Mm-hmm. And I think on my Rosefin apple potatoes, that's a fingerling, they were thin.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And for some reason this year, I mentioned earlier on that the plants got really tall.
Yeah.
But when that happens, it grows like that, you don't get any protection.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why it did that, but I have lots of potatoes, but I should have had, you know, four times the amount because they're all small.
Mine are too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But mine, what happened is they got killed by the grasshoppers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, devastated by the grasshoppers.
And then they came back.
And then as the grasshoppers went away, so many things came back. Things were like, oh my God, I can grow again.
it's spring.
Except it's not spring. It was fall. You know?
So anyways, and what we're getting at is this winter, order your seed, regular garden vegetable seeds early, and order your potatoes early just so you have them.
And so that's why you don't use your own potatoes for seed potatoes is because generational.
Yeah, and I'll do it for 2 years, maybe three, and then I'm going to buy all new again.
Gotcha.
And so that's what's going to happen this year.
Gotcha.
So we just placed our order for seed potatoes for sale for the store this week, and we'll have them available in the spring. But yeah, you got to order them way ahead of time.
Yeah. So I'll have some friends.
That's interesting.
I mean, we'll have them in stock, but if you're otherwise,
Hey, we've got Sarah on the line to talk about potatoes. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Worm.
Hi.
Oh, good
Hi.
To hear from you.
Yeah. All this potato talk I just had to share. We were given some fingerling potatoes. They're a maca ozette.
That's a good one.
I had a really funny experience. It was one of those where, you know, the season got away from me and we didn't plant our potatoes till mid-July.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those where I was like, it's so late, I'm not really expecting anything to happen. And I just finished digging them probably about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks ago, and we had a bumper crop, and I was so excited planting so late.
Nice.
It's funny how, like, the season just does weird things.
Yeah, and you kind of won that battle this year.
Yeah, yeah.
I was okay with that.
Yeah, I have mentioned if you can not plant potatoes till mid-June or a little later, you'll have a great fall crop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just what happened. That's great.
Yeah.
And fall crops, in my opinion, are the best crops around here, especially because it starts to, it's almost too hot during our summers, but then it starts to cool down and you get that sugar build and recede, and you get the better crops for almost everything.
So. Boy, you want to talk sugar.
We definitely have the season for it, too.
Yeah,
that's
nice.
Great to hear.
Awesome.
Yeah. Are those a purple potato? Then?
No. No, they're not.
No?
A light tan, almost light tan, white.
Those finger lines.
Lots of eyes on the Osette.
Nice.
Yeah, lots of eyes.
Knobby and delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah.
Good one.
We
good
took for some small ones like that and cut them up and put them on the flat top, and then we took a press and pressed them and kind of cooked them on the flat top, and they made like crunchy, yummy little mashed potatoes slash crunchy potato. Oh, they're so good.
Yeah, nice. Those smaller varieties are delicious.
It's cool the stuff you can do with those.
Mm-hmm. I love it. That's why we do it, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah,
well, thanks
that's
for sure.
Thanks. Good to hear from
thanks,
you, Sarah.
Good to hear from you. Awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to take a real quick break to hear from a couple underwriters. Yeah. We'll be right back. We are back. You're listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF. I'm Jill Spears, your host here with Lance Lulu and Jer Lowe from Earth Friendly. All right. Got another email here. This is also from Lisa. She's got some issues with small young apple tree. And Lance, I showed you that picture mm-hmm. earlier. It's an heirloom Wolf River with the branches growing vertically. They begin near the base, and she's got like two trunks
coming out. Two trunks on there.
Oh. Yeah. And so she's wondering about pruning that, and then also about asking if you can review painting the bark of trees for protection from the winter sun. Mm-hmm.
Well, what I saw there was two trunks coming out at the base. Mm-hmm. It didn't split up high at 3 feet or something. Mm-hmm. So what you're going to do is you're going to stake both of those trunks so that they don't...
Stake them.
Stake them so the wind doesn't... Because what's going to happen is one is going to rip off in a wind.
Right.
I would choose one. And looking at this picture...
Would you take it off now?
Or I would take the as soon as it goes dormant. I would take the one on in this picture, the one on the left off.
Yeah, it just depends on which way the wind is blows, is the one. Yeah, but anyways, you're gonna take one of them off, and next year I wouldn't say to prune them. Just let it grow, because it's awful small. You know, as far as that, and as far as tree paint, you can just use cheap white. Latex paint, water-based paint, you can do that. Or you can buy those kind of products at stores.
Yeah.
At garden stores.
I actually, at our store, I make a custom tree paste.
Okay.
And it's got rock dust in it, and it's got kelp in it, and it's got
that's great, yeah.
Some microbes in it and things like that. And we sell it in a powder, and then I have you just put some in a cup, add just enough water to mix it into like a toothpaste consistency, and then put that on your cuts or your breaks.
Yeah, let me see. This is the one. This came out of the Texas Bud Book, The Good, the Bad, and Ugly. Mm-hmm. And he had something in the back there about this tree paint, and it was equal parts rock phosphate, diatomaceous earth, and aged cow manure or compost. Hmm. And you mixed them all together, made a whitewash paste out of it, and you painted the brush. Painted the trunks with that. And it was really good for wounds.
You know, that's what a lot of that's for.
Yeah, and stuff. So anyways, you paint them, because her other part was how high up do you paint that? And paint it as high as where the branches are coming out.
Where
it starts to branch out.
Yeah.
I can't quite remember the recipe off my head, but it's like basalt rock dust, maybe some glacial rock dust, and then kelp powder. Some microbes.
You can put all these things in there. Great stuff.
And it does wonders.
And, you know, part of it is that that bark will suck up those nutrients in this bark paint. Mm-hmm.
Is that just a good rule of thumb to do that for young trees or any trees?
Any trees, but young trees especially, because it's the winter sun that hits that bark on the side.
Yeah, in fact, you know, at our store we sell the tree wrap.
The tree wrap, yes.
And you can get that at most nursery stores. And, and that is pretty important in Colorado, because we have really intense sun in the winter still. And on the, you'll notice the south side of your tree in the spring, it has sunburn if you didn't wrap it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and there's certain, just young fruit trees, there's some locust trees are really susceptible to that. Mm-hmm. The young birch trees, maybe even young aspens down here because there's no snow cover down here. Mm-hmm. So there's a good way to take care of these. And it's just, you do that tree wrap, you just take it off in March, April, and you're done.
Yeah. It's like a paper wrap.
Yeah, it's a paper thing, two, three inches wide?
Yeah.
It comes in a roll, pretty easy to deal with.
Like applying an ace bandage kind of.
Just like that. Mm-hmm. Just like that.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, thanks, Lisa, for all of your questions. That's some good stuff as we go into the winter.
Yeah. And Lisa, I would whack the one on the left, too.
Mm-hmm. That's the
key. You got it figured out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get that close of a look, so good.
Yeah.
That's the one I would do.
Yeah. Whack it.
Cut it real close.
Yeah,
and then
right down.
And then cover it up with, like some paste or whatever.
Right.
And looking at that thing, it doesn't have a lot of shade around it, it looks like. I would probably do the tree wrap around it for the winter,
the
too.
Other ones. Yeah.
But make sure you get it off in the spring.
Yeah. What was I going to say about that? Never mind.
I'll think of it. That's it. We'll get back to you. 527-486-8866, KVNF now, worm at kvnf.org is the email. Anita sent an email from Orchard City, Austin, and she loves the show and gets so much good information. And she's just questioning how to listen to past shows, and you can do that at kvnf.org. Just go
up to a certain point, though, right?
The worm is archived back pretty far. Yeah.
Awesome.
Adam puts that out there every week after the show, and you can find that in the, on the program tab.
DJ shows are 2 weeks, but the worm goes back pretty far.
Oh, it's because it's a podcast, actually, kind of thing, format. So, that's where you can find that, Anita.
All right, so here I remembered. Okay, so what happened is I had this peach tree that was coming from a seed from my peaches, my peach tree, my dwarf tree, right? And when that big snow came, it snapped it right in half. It had all these beautiful leaves on it still, right?
Yeah.
And it just...
You're talking this last one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I took the snapped off part. Now what's left is pretty groovy because it's got a lot of branches still. So, and I was thinking this could be really cool because they'll be so low to the ground, you could just stroll around and pick the peaches. And I'm pretty sure the other part, the in the dirt part, is going to live.
Mm-hmm.
But the snapped off part, I took and put in some water and I put a little root stimulator in there. What do you think?
Yeah.
Might work.
Jerry's saying maybe.
you might have put some, did you put some sand in there?
Where, in the water?
No, in the hole that where you stuck it in, the ground.
I didn't stick it in the ground.
Oh, you didn't stick it in the ground.
It's just in the water.
It's just in the water.
Yeah,
okay.
It's in a jar that it's being held up by the narrow neck of the jar, but the bottom of the jar is big, so it's got room in there. I don't know.
You can see what happens.
Yeah. You'll see what happens. Sand would be better.
Yeah,
more sand.
Usually with woody cuttings, they're called, you do those in like sand. Wet sand, sand.
This is just the tip. Well, I've got sand. I could surely do it.
Yeah, and that's interesting because there are still a lot of leaves on some trees.
Yeah,
that's what
crazy.
I was just about to say before I left town. I don't know how it is today after last night, but Paonia still had lots of green leaves.
Not even
yellow leaves, green leaves on their
green
trees.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy moly, this is just nuts.
Yeah,
so I was out near Austin and Eckert today driving around out there, and I just was blown. I'm blown away. There's the trees, and then I came the back road into Paonia, and what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is cuckoo.
It is.
It's Thanksgiving next week.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it's the latest Thanksgiving can be.
Right. It's the 28th.
It can't be any later than that.
No, it's the late cycle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't get it.
I don't know, but
I remember when I was in England one time for Thanksgiving, and it blew me away that there were still so many leaves on the trees there. You know, considering they're so far north and everything, but that old Gulf Stream.
The Gulf Stream is what I was going to say.
The Gulf Stream is what keeps them happening, yeah.
Yeah, I just noticed that the first thing to lose its leaf in my garden was the grapevines. The next thing were the peaches. And
My peaches held forever.
You know, and now there's still leaves on the plums, the apricots. Two of them, they dropped pretty early. But then the Afghani white apricot is just now dropping. And the one from Ladakh, India, is a little bit ahead of that one. But the pears still got leaves on it.
Pears still have leaves.
And the, what is it? The pears, the plums. And, oh, even the almond trees.
Really?
Even my apple
even today?
Trees.
Today, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I went out and looked at my blackberries and felt the leaves, and they're still green. Just hanging on.
Right.
Yeah.
I was like, you went down to like 10 degrees last night. You're fine.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. My nuisance elm in the chicken yard where the coon was hiding, but that's another story. Yeah. It still has leaves. My apple trees still have leaves. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My pear tree is covered. It's just now starting to decide to drop some leaves.
Mm-hmm. Right? It's supposed to be pretty mild here. I still haven't got my garlic in the ground.
Oh, you slacker.
That's all right.
No, it keeps snowing. Like, it keeps being too wet to work the soil.
Right.
And it was about to dry out, and I left town, and there was no weather in the forecast. And then it hit Monday night to Tuesday, and I was like, come on. So yeah. It's looking pretty nice this week. I'm hoping to get that garlic in by Saturday.
I bet you do.
So.
I bet you do. It's going to be nice.
Yeah. Hey, Terry's on the phone about squash planting.
Oh.
Okay.
Hi, Terry.
I wanted to ask about, I followed Lance's directions on planting the 1st of July. And I soaked them the first, planted the 3rd, and they came up the 7th.
Wow.
I got 28 squash, but a lot of them were in the stage of ripening when I had to pick because of the freeze. I wondered if they will continue to ripen, or do I feed them to the deer?
What kind of squash are you talking about?
Yeah, that's the next question.
Well, I went to the seed bank at the library and got Buttercup, and the seeds were a big surprise. They kind of looked like pumpkins.
Mm-hmm.
And I got some Buttercup from Greg at Old River Road.
Yes.
And those were true to Buttercup. And I got some Kabocha from Bernie Heidemann, and those did well, and I harvested them what looks to be ripe, but the others, what looked like pumpkins, were maybe a third green yet.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you can try putting them, I don't know where you have them now, put them in a sunny windowsill, and let them sit there.
And leave as much stem on them as you can.
Yep.
So the sun is what they need.
Yep. They need that right.
Okay.
And do that. And then next year, plant them in mid-June, not July.
Yeah, I talked to Madison, and he said you plant them way too late. Next year I will.
It's the summer squash we try to plant after the 4th of July.
Yeah, you can plant summer squash after the 4th, but not winter squash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I went out to
Bernie. I guess I misunderstood your...
darn.
Well, the
other thing I want to... Well, 28 squash is not bad.
That's not bad at all.
You did great.
Yeah.
I went out to Bernie Heidemann's garden this summer, and it was kicking. So that's some good stuff.
Yeah.
I wanted to also defend my bird feeding by broadcasting the seed. I have maybe 1,000 birds and very few grasshoppers.
Nice. There you go.
I never broadcast thistle seed. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been around a long time, so I know what thistles are all about. And by broadcasting the bird seed, you don't get bird diseases.
Right.
Bird feeders are just
right.
like
right.
Gatherings of yep. people in the winter
yep.
that get flu. You get birds together, and they pass along their problems
right.
to each other.
Oh, that's a great point.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
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 So at any rate, I will plant my squash mid-June.
Sounds good.
All right.
Nice.
Put them in the sun for this year.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Sounds right. good, thanks. Terry. Thank
nice
you.
Work.
Bye.
Thanks for the tip on the bird seed for grasshoppers.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Bob's on the line to talk about tilling. Hello, Bob.
Hey, how you doing, Julie Bean?
Doing good. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing good. Thank you.
Hey, good to hear from you.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
The crew.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just wondering about after I've got my leaves down and I've got my compost ready to put on, and after I put my compost over, I'm wondering about a light tilling of the ground.
Yeah.
Have you dropped the leaves in the compost yet?
Yeah, the leaves are down, and I got the compost ready to put on.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, after I put it on, I was wondering if it would be cool to do a light tilling.
Yeah, you could work it in.
Yeah, work it in just the top 2 inches.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know,
so it doesn't blow away.
So yeah, blow away, and then come spring, any of the coarse material, rake it out, and you'll have really nice organic matter right there.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. All right.
That's nothing
all
better right. than those leaves, though, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How thick are you putting the leaves? That's the thing.
I just put one little layer. Not really
well,
thick at all.
1 inch. 1 inch, 2 inches.
Yeah, maybe an inch.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Or less.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Sweet soil.
The leaves invite the worms to come up and grab mm-hmm. them. And
yeah.
They bring it yeah. down in, and mm-hmm. that's good mm-hmm. stuff.
It's the best ever.
Right
best
on.
Ever.
Looking forward to seeing what you plant in that, Bob.
I just plant some potatoes. I mean, mm-hmm. not potatoes. I plant my potatoes in another little garden. And I've had a horrible couple of years with potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what I'm going to do about that. But I think maybe ordering some potatoes or getting down at your store early.
Yeah.
And getting the cream of the crop
okay,
and get them in the ground.
But also
I do peppers and some tomatoes yeah. and a little eggplant.
Bob, you know, I want to ask you about your potato rotation. Do you plant them in the same place every year or every other year? Or
yes, it comes out more like every other year,
okay.
but some years it's every year.
Okay. Grow potatoes once in the same place every 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So it's a 3-year rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you heard us talking earlier about fertilizing now for the potatoes.
No, you know, I came in late into the show.
So we were saying that potatoes don't like a real hot fertilized bed. And so we were talking earlier about how, you know, you don't want to put a lot of fertilizer down in the fall because it kind of washes away with the snow, but your potato bed is an exception to that rule.
Yeah.
Maybe your onion beds too. But potatoes, I forgot to mention whenever we were talking about it too,
mm-hmm.
sulfate of potash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Potato, potassium. So you want sulfate of potash in those beds this time of year.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right. Thank you for that. That's mm-hmm. a great suggestion. And rotate.
Yeah.
Every 3 years.
Every 3 years.
Yeah.
Now, did the grasshoppers get your taties?
No, man, I'm up here in Crawford, man. We don't have no damn grasshoppers. I'm a damn grasshopper down here in the lowlands.
Okay. Well, you better not
be rubbing it in.
You know, everybody's going to want to move to Crawford now.
Oh, no, no, no.
Oh, you got to be a tough cook. No, you live in Crawford.
No, we got these big-ass grasshoppers up here.
Whoa. Yeah.
Right
That's
on.
That's great.
Right on.
All right,
that's
Bob.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. The no grasshopper zone. I love it.
No, no, there are big ones up here. Don't be saying that. Damn, no, no, I saw him take a kitten away the other day.
Yeah.
A kitten.
Oh, Lord.
Good deal.
Nice work.
Yeah.
All right, guys. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate you all.
Oh, okay. Appreciate you, Bob. Bye-bye. Thanks for the call.
Good night.
Bye.
That's awesome.
Yeah, see, that's great. That's another crop. I don't grow potatoes. I always figure it's so easy to get organic potatoes, and yeah, I don't even like them.
I'll tell you. Well, see, I love potatoes.
Well, that's another.
And it's easy to get potatoes. You're right. But it's hard to get the varieties that you can grow, for one thing.
Well, that's true. Then there's that. Mm-hmm. You're right. I should expand my horizons. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm going to have a new bed.
And a homegrown potato is kind of like a homegrown tomato. It's it's a different ballgame.
Right on.
Thinking of that, I actually dug up volunteer potatoes yesterday when I was turning soil.
Yeah.
They'd lasted this long in the ground. They were volunteers in the squash bed, and I didn't dig them up all because the squash was growing.
Right, you didn't see them.
Yeah, you know, and so I actually, and they were all, there were some German butter balls, but they're pretty much just the rose fins. Mm-hmm. And there they were, even with this poor weather and stuff. And,
the rose fins?
Yeah, they're.
Yeah, so you're not getting that at a grocery store.
No, you're right.
You know what I mean?
No, yeah. Right. So. I better do some. Mm-hmm. I might have to do some.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gonna have to potato party.
Yeah. Oh, spare me.
Speaking of digging out of the ground, did you get all of the carrots out, Lance?
Yes, I did get all the carrots out.
And can you give us a grand total?
Grand total?
Yes, of course.
I added this up. Yeah. And remember, I'm doing this one at a time. Each carrot, there's 2,900 pounds.
What?
2,900 pounds of carrots.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, out of five and a half beds.
Wow.
That's over a ton, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it's almost
it's a ton and a half.
It's a ton and a half.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
my
that was,
God.
You know, you got to realize the voles got a few of them at the end.
Yeah.
Oh, you know? Wow.
And that's not counting the ones I ate
right.
or the ones I stored.
Wow.
You know, so.
Wow. Well, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of fine folks enjoying your carrots for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so what do you have still in the ground? Anything?
No, I took the daikons out yesterday.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I had them covered, mind you, every night. I put the tarps back on them because they don't like it really cold.
Right.
You know, and yesterday, the way that wind was blowing, cold, I said, I got to get these out of here now.
Yeah.
You know, so the only thing out there now is kale. And I even have that covered to keep a hard frost off of it, you know, and I'm just going to pick it till it's done with. What they look like at the end is palm trees. Big long stalks with a few leaves on top.
Yeah.
And I haven't decided. I could leave them there and have a seed crop next year if I wanted to.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
And you can still put some plants in the ground for spring germination, right?
Yeah. There's still, I got cornered the other day with a bunch of people at the store wanting to know what to plant now. But again, it's, you know, I've mentioned it, spinach, lettuce, cilantro, parsley, parsnips. Let's look if I'm missing something on my list here. Arugula. These are things I've seen come up.
Mm-hmm.
Dill will be really good in there.
I mean, you can grow arugula right now.
Yeah,
you arugula's crazy.
Just put a frost blanket over it.
Yeah. Mustard. I suspect I've seen some mustard come up the next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, beets a little bit. Carrots, no. It's just, they don't, and the carrot seedlings don't like the cold in the spring.
Right.
The seed does fine in the ground.
But they won't germinate when it's cold.
They won't germinate, but they'll when they do, and then you get those late frost. That's what they don't like.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I wonder if you could do green onions.
Probably.
You probably could do green onions. If you did the regular type onions, I remember Frank Stoniker being in here with us, and he mentioned any time he's seen it, if you have a onion start a quarter inch or thinner, and it gets 27 degrees, they'll go straight to seed.
Right.
So forget the bulbing onions. But the green onions, what the heck, you're going to eat them?
Sure.
Yeah.
You know.
Sure. Right. You're going to eat them before they go to seed.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if the brassicas, especially some of the kale and some of those kind of things, would work. Mm-hmm. So you could just do an experiment.
Try.
Yeah. So I got a question.
What do you got to lose?
That's right.
I didn't get a bunch of my potatoes dug yet. I'm going to try to this week. Like I said, the ground was too wet still. But if I don't get them out when they rot in the ground, am I okay to plant stuff there still? Or do I really need to till that area, you think?
Oh, you mean for next year?
Yeah. I'm probably going to hold off till next year to plant. I'm going to put in – I started asparagus from seed. I'm going to put that where the potatoes were. Uh-huh. So.
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, the potatoes, all that's going to be left next spring. There'll be actually some that actually survive the winter and grow.
Mm-hmm.
But all that's going to be left is skin.
Okay.
You know.
They're not going to get too rotty and cause fungal issues.
No.
Now, Phil had a
I didn't think so either, but I wanted your opinion.
Phil had a couple of cabbages that he was going to leave in the ground. He said, will they live? Will they come up next year? I don't think so.
What will happen is the top will rot off and they'll sprout off the sides just like kale does.
Yeah.
It'll winter over, but it'll be, and you'll get these nice, what should we say, a variety of broccoli rabe.
Right, just a little.
That's what the seed heads will come up.
Interesting.
Yeah. And you can eat those. You know, eat the leaves, whatever. Oh, yeah.
Interesting. Right. So there you go. So leave those cabbages in there.
You can do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, gang, that is going to do it for us and for this season. And just a special shout out to all of our listeners, everybody that calls, all of our members, KVNF, anybody that's gardening out there, our special guests. We had some amazing guests this year.
That's a great guest.
Yeah.
All of the farmers out there, just really appreciate what everybody does and how everybody connects together.
You had some great farm visits.
Yeah. And you guys are the ones that really make this show work for us. So,
all you all out there.
All y'all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks, Jer, Lance, and Lulu.
Thanks for having me.
Have a great season.
See you again.
See you 2025. Woohoo! Adam's coming up with Global Express next. And thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF.
Okay. Have a good winter.
Good night, everybody. Be kind.
Take care.
Love you. Bye-bye.
I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low, and low.